following audio is from the Lifeway Church. For more information about the Lifeway, please visit our website at www.thelifeway.org.
Well, good morning, everybody. Give yourselves a great hand. It's good to see each and every one of you. This morning, for those of you that may not know me, my name is Andrew McLean, and I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway. One of the things we do every Sunday is we welcome all of those who aren't able to be here in the physical room with us, but eventually take part in our service online. So let's give a big welcome to those that listen to us online. We love and appreciate them. Those of you that attend the Lifeway know that I don't often do this, but we have a couple here visiting with us today. That's very special to me, and so I just wanted to recognize John and Mindy Enjibis here today. I get a lot of comments like, "Who's that girl right here singing? She's so incredible." Well, that's her parents. They're with us today, but the reason I point them out is that John and Mindy have really been influential in Shiloh and in my life. In fact, our ministry probably wouldn't be what it is today if it wasn't for what they invested into us when we were probably 19, 20, 21 years old. I remember they believed in us, even at times when other people didn't. They supported us. I remember one big tour we were getting ready to take with the choir, and we couldn't afford to go. We had just had Josiah, and we just couldn't afford it. And so I told Mindy, I said, as much as we want to come, we just can't. And she said, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. And they took care of it. And so we honor you. We love you. We appreciate you guys so very much. Thank you for being here in service with us this morning. Today is Legacy Sunday. And we're going to start this service. If this is your first time to the Lifeway, this is not something we normally do here. And so if you're a guest here, I'm giving you permission. If you want, you can check out for a few minutes. I'll pull you back in here. But today is what we call Legacy Sunday. And what we're going to do is we're going to start by celebrating together some of the incredible things that God has done through us as a church this year. 2017 has been a remarkable year for our church. We have seen God help us expand numerically, financially, and even in our influence. I want to share some of the highlights with you of what God has been doing. Under the heading of local missions, this year we were able to participate in four Serve Day projects, which occurred in the middle of July on a Saturday. We did a free car wash. We handed out snack bags to families at Greenfield Park. Over here, we had our Kids Way team, a bunch of them painted up some flower pots, and we took it to a local nursing home. We did landscaping here at the school. It was really an incredible event. How many of you enjoyed Serve Day? Yeah, it was awesome. Those of you that weren't able to participate, it'll be in July, the second Saturday in July. But what's so awesome is that our car wash project, a connection was made with a lady who later visited our church for the first time, and eventually, actually, I think the last time we had baptism, we baptized her. So that's really, really, really exciting. In the area of national missions, through our partnership with ARC, the Association of Related Church, that's the organization that helped us plant the Lifeway, we were able to contribute and help launch, listen to this is crazy, in the United States, 120 churches this year were launched. And you were part of that. A portion of every dollar that comes into the Lifeway, we send out to ARC to plant other life-giving churches. We were also able to provide help financially. You heard a shout-out from one of the pastors last week to three of the ARC churches that we're in partnership with in Houston and Southwest Florida that were on the ground providing hurricane support to their communities. And so all of this was really made possible by your faithfulness, and I know it was a blessing to them. One other area when it comes to national missions, some of you remember a couple of months ago, we talked about the Baltzel family, which is a pastor and his wife in Centralia, Illinois, who had to have a $42,000 health procedure that was not covered by their insurance, and so they were going to have to sell their house just so she could have this surgery. So eventually, if she doesn't have it, she would end up passing away. And so we were able to give a big chunk of money to them. And then I also just presented you guys a challenge to, we just wanted to bless them with gift cards so as she goes through her recovery in February, that, you know, dad could, you know, make sure the kids are fed. How many of you know when mom doesn't make food, it's a problem, right? Right? So I'm excited. We sent over $700 in gift cards to them. So, man, thank you so much. Such a blessing. In the area of international missions, we continued supporting two missionaries, one in Nigeria and the other in Israel. Now, some of you may have thought, well, man, you know, Andrew recognized, you know, John and Mindy. How would he not recognize his parents? Because I knew it was coming up later in my notes. So I just honor my mom and dad. They're both here today. Those of you that attend the Lifeway, you hear me brag about them. Awesome. This is an extraordinary couple. And listen, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for what they invested and their legacy and the legacy that they invested into me growing up. And we're just so thankful. My mom has been here off and on as she's recovered from surgery, but this is actually Dad's first time here since he's been back home. And we just honor them. They are doing an incredible work. And then here, finally, at the Lifeway, your generosity locally has accomplished so much. As a church, I am so excited about this. As a church, we are on pace to exceed $25,000 in various missions efforts this year. Our church alone, you gave, and we were able to bless people all around the nation, all around the world. It's really exciting. One of the other things that we were able to do because of our legacy offering last year is we were able to lease our first permanent space. We refer to it as our Lifeway HQ building. In just 5 months, we've been in there about 5 months. I tried to count it up. We've hosted at least 50 gatherings there in 5 months. And so everything from youth events to training and meetings and life groups, Encounter Night. Let me just throw a plug in there. Encounter Night has been absolutely incredible the last few months. And so, listen, that's the first Thursday of the month. We come, the band comes in, we do a time of worship, we do a time of prayer, we have communion together. It has been extraordinary. So mark it on your calendar. It is always the first Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock at the HQ building. And then lastly, I'm really most excited about this slide. In 2017, there have been 239 times in our services where people have either committed or recommitted their life to follow Jesus Christ. They've made that first step. And on top of that, after this morning's baptism, we have a baptism coming up later this morning. We will have baptized alone this year. 19 people have been baptized. And to give you some context, that number is more than we've baptized total in the last 2 years. Just this year alone, we've exceeded that. And so God is really doing some incredible things. And I want you to let you know, you just heard Leanna say it a few minutes ago. It's all possible because of your generosity. I'd like for you to go ahead and grab out, those of you that have been here the last few weeks, you've heard us talk about this. Go ahead, pull out your legacy offering. Some of you probably already have it filled out. If you don't, you can work feverishly on that. And so we're going to prepare to give our legacy offering right now. Earlier this year, I see Greg here. Good to see you. I told you I was going to call you. I tried and we just weren't able to connect. So I'm going to do my best to kind of tell the story the best that I can. But earlier this year, we were able to baptize Greg Burr. I think his picture is going to be up there behind us. Yeah, come on. That's awesome. But there's really an incredible backstory to his baptism and his journey towards Jesus Christ. A man by the name of Mark Ellis. He is the brother of Lisa and Jill, who serve on our dream team. We all love Lisa and Jill. Let's give them a big hand, right? Mark attended our church off and on, really for probably the first two years that we were a church. And one of the things that I recognized was that every single time he came to our church, he gave. He was generous. In fact, his generosity really stood out to me because he gave a lot for someone who didn't consider this to be his church home. He had another, he had the place that he had grown up where he went most often, but occasionally he would come to be with his sisters, and he was just so generous, and it always just stood out to me. He was so generous, but unfortunately what happened with Mark is he had earlier in his life had made some poor choices, and he was in the end stages fighting liver disease. He was actually on the transplant list. We prayed for him. We believed for a miracle, and I'll never forget the day that Lisa called me and told me that they had found a match and that the transplant was all set. We were out in a public place, and it was everything I could do to keep from jumping up and down and getting all excited that, you know, God would answer this incredible answer to prayer. But due to some last-minute complications, the transplant didn't go through. It wasn't right. And I'm, you know, sad to tell you, just 4 weeks later, in September of 16, Mark passed away. And as I know the story to be as it relates to Greg, and I'm going to get all around, bring you the backstory, just days, from my understanding, just a short time after Mark missed out on that transplant, or right in that same time frame, he knocked on his co-workers Greg's office door, and he proceeded to share with Greg how important it was for him to commit his life to follow Jesus. He asked him to promise him to make that decision and asked him to promise him to be baptized. In fact, I listened to Greg share that story at Mark's funeral, how much Mark wanted him to come to know Christ. And so several months passed. We were getting ready for Easter service the week of Easter. Lisa Valla remembered what Greg had said at the funeral. And so last minute, she invited Greg to come to church, and without hesitation, Greg responded, "Yes, I'll be there." And so that Sunday, Easter Sunday this year, was his first visit to our church, and Greg committed his life to follow Jesus Christ, and he indicated on our Easter survey that we do his desire to be baptized. And so when I was going through these cards, I looked at it and I thought, well, this has to be a mistake. This guy's only been to our church one time. He can't possibly be ready. So I called up Lisa. I said, "Hey, do you think this is a mistake?" And she goes, "Well, let me give him a call." And so she, called Greg and then confirmed that it was right. And so we got it all scheduled. And so on Sunday, June 25th, Greg, along with his girlfriend Barbara, who's also here, were baptized that day. And so why am I telling you this story? That this story really proves that the power of the life that we lead has the ability to transcend even our physical time on this earth. Mark's giving and his words were able to bear fruit even after his earthly journey had finished. And so I want you to understand this morning that each and every one of us this morning, every single one of us in this room, we are sitting in a chair. As we meet as a church, in a high school auditorium, you're sitting in a chair. It's only possible that you're there because somebody decided to give generously. And so I want you to know that if this church has blessed you in any way, it has only happened because somebody else sowed a seed into the ministry. Somebody else chose to carry that generous spirit. And so it's with a spirit of gratitude that we bring this legacy offering to the Lord. And this is something we know, if you come here all the time, you know that we don't normally do this, but I want everybody to stand up together, and I want families to get close to each other. Those of you that consider the Lifeway your church home, remember, if you're a guest here, you can just kind of stand up with us and you can help us pray, but this is really meant for the local church family. But what I want us to do is I want us to pray over this legacy offering. I want you to take this out, and what we're going to do in just a few moments is we're going to have some ushers. They're going to walk the aisles, and I'm just going to have you drop your legacy offering in there. I know some of you are, love the online giving, and so if you plan on giving online, there's a little box that says, "I gave my legacy," or "I'm giving my legacy offering online," but I still want you to fill this out and put that amount there. But this is what we want to pray. We want to pray, "Lord, let this bear fruit. Let this offering make a difference. Let it alter the course of eternity. That this would grow." I believe that we can sow seeds that will actually come into play long after we've left this earth. And I think that's such a great privilege that we have as men and women, as followers of Christ. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord God, I know that over the course of the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've been praying and we've been talking about this legacy offering. And so, Lord God, I just pray that you would bless this. Lord God, I pray that we give this out of an overflow, Lord Jesus, of everything that you've done for us, each and every one of us. You have blessed us so deeply. You blessed us so immensely. And so, Lord God, Lord, as we prepare this, Lord God, I just pray that you would multiply it. Lord Jesus, that nations would be blessed by what's given here. Lord Jesus, that new churches would be planted. Lord God, that there would be more stories like Greg's that we would celebrate next year, Lord God, because of our sacrificial giving. Lord Jesus, as we talked about last week, I pray that you would give us a heart and a spirit of generosity, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I pray that throughout of the Lifeway Church, Lord Jesus, this is the one of the things, Lord, that I pray, Lord, almost every single day. Lord God, Lord, I pray that you could trust us to be a blessing to others. Lord, blessings to other missions, other churches, other people. Lord God, people serving, Lord Jesus, those in need in our community. And so, Lord God, we give this, Lord Jesus, as a sacrifice of our praise to you. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Come on, clap your hands. All right, you may be seated. As you're seated, we're going to play the sermon bumper. The ushers are going to collect these envelopes from you right now.
It begins with so many possibilities. The course uncharted. Foundation unlaid.
The decisive battle of the war has begun.
But every day is a step.
The forces of Germany have surrendered.
Every choice another brick laid. A monument to time. What will stand at the end? What will be looked back upon with tears of gladness? For the sum of a lifetime is measured in that which is left behind. At the end of it all, what will my monument be? Will I have made a difference? Will I have lived for something? I shall accept nothing less. I live for life. I live for love. I live for legacy.
I want to start by asking one of the most important questions that I know to ask, and that is, on the day that you pass away from this world, what kind of legacy do you want to leave behind? In other words, how do you want others to remember you? Do you want to be known for how intelligent or educated you were, how articulate, or maybe how animated you were? If you were the life of the party, do you want to be remembered for how well dressed, or maybe how well organized you were, or maybe how great of a house it was that you owned, or maybe the vacations that you took? What are the things that you want to leave behind as your legacy? The reality this morning is that every person who finishes their earthly race is going to leave a legacy in one form or another. And this question is so important because at this very moment, each and every one of us in this room, we are creating the legacy that we are going to leave. Good or bad, your family will have left in their hands primarily that which you have passed on to them. Good or bad, your family will have left in their hands primarily that which you pass on to them. And your legacy often becomes the legacy that they live, and in turn will become the basis of the legacy that they leave to their next generation. Proverbs 13:22, you can follow along with us in the sermon outline. I encourage you to take some notes and fill in the blanks. It said this, that good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren. And I know that that often we refer to this verse when it comes to finances, but I believe that it also refers to a godly inheritance. It refers to a godly legacy. In other words, a good parent or this one that leaves behind something for those who continue on in the race. One writer wrote this. He said, "The central paradox of our time is that most of us are earning more money and we're living better in material terms than our parents or grandparents did a quarter or a half century ago. Yet by most measures, we're working longer and more frantically than before, and the time and the energy left for our non-working lives is simply evaporating. The new economy we are living in brings enormous benefits in the terms of wealth and innovation and new chances and choices, but our absorption in keeping up with it all is leading to the erosion of our families, the fragmenting of our communities, and the challenge of keeping our own integrity intact. We are in danger of losing the crucial distinction between making a living and making a life." And how true it is. So many people today are working hard at making their living, but they simply have no life. Former Colorado Governor Richard Lamb said this. He said, "Future historians will say the multiple factors that led to the decline of America were led by the failure to replace ourselves with enough stable children born to families with the ability to raise successful children themselves." And I believe that right now in our nation, we are experiencing a crisis in generational legacies. We have almost entire generations of children who have not been passed on a legacy of character, of integrity, of just common love and common treating others with respect. Basic common decency seems to be lost in much of our culture. In studying for this message, I was reading some reports, and in 2014, the Pew Research Center did a study that revealed that while 87% of Americans state that they believe in God, only 35% of them attend church on a weekly basis. And in our pursuit of making a living and accumulating more and more and more, we have pushed God to the back burner. And when they broke these research numbers down, it showed that of the silent generation are those born between 1928 and 1945, 51% of them attend church on a weekly basis. For the baby boomers, that number dropped to 36%. And then into Generation X bracket, it fell even further to 34%. And sadly, of those in the millennial demographic, the percentage of people who believe in God but also attend church on a weekly basis drops to 28%. Do you see the pattern? Somewhere along the line, parents have forgotten the importance of leaving a godly legacy to their children. And instead, we bought into a culture, a world culture that screams, you know what, get it, you deserve it. Every man for themselves, if it feels good, do it. Look out at all costs for number one. And the fruit of our turning our back on God is that we are a nation that really is facing crisis in every single aspect of our culture. And I believe that the erosion of our nation can be traced back to the dilemma we face in our godly generational legacies. Martin Luther, when asked what he would do if he knew he were going to die tomorrow, replied, "I'd go out and I'd plant a tree." In other words, he would leave behind a legacy of life that would grow on into the future. And that is what I want us to look at this morning, is how do I leave a legacy? How do we live a life that outlasts us? Now I want to point out that there is a difference between our reputation and our legacy. Your reputation is who others think you are, while your legacy is who you actually are. Your reputation is what you have when you come into a new community. Your legacy is what you leave behind when you go. A reputation is made in a moment, while a legacy is built over a lifetime. A single newspaper report or a careless social media post can give you your reputation, but a life of hard work and dedication gives you your legacy. Your reputation is what men and women will talk about around your gravesite, while your legacy is what your children will carry on with them. So right now, each of us in this room, we are creating our legacy. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to open them up to 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Apostle Paul penned this portion of Scripture near the end of his life. And before we read these verses, let me just give you a little bit of background about Paul. After Paul's conversion, he was one of the most influential people in the early church. He planted churches. He was a missionary. He traveled the world sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wrote almost two-thirds of the New Testament. Paul was extremely well-educated. He could read and write in Greek and in Hebrew. He was an expert in the Old Testament law. His accomplishments were many. But I want you to watch this. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near." Verse 7, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I have remained faithful." And I want you to notice that at the end of Paul's life, Paul's statement mentions nothing about the education that he had received. He doesn't mention anything about the places that he had traveled, the letters that he had written, the people that he had preached to, or even the churches that he had planted. He simply wanted his legacy to be labeled as being found faithful. Faithful. In other words, after it's all said and done, what's important to me was I want to be found faithful in God's sight. And so as Paul pondered the end of his life, he made these three very simple statements. And these are some of the greatest comments when it comes to considering legacy that you will ever read. If you want to leave a legacy that is greater, that will outlast you, if you want to leave a legacy that will impact future generations, if you want to live your life in a way that you leave behind something that is valuable, I believe that all you need is wrapped up in these three profoundly simple yet inspiringly deep statements. The first one, number one, the first blank in your outline is fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. If your desire is to leave a godly legacy, you must recognize that each day you are in a war. And there are some choices that we need to make. Will you stand firm? As a spiritual warrior, will you be clothed in God's armor? You see, when you and I become casual about spiritual things, when we begin to let our spiritual disciplines slide, when we become careless with the disciplines of the faith, things like church attendance, things like prayer, things like reading God's word, things like being generous, when we become callous about these things, when we become callous in our hearts about holy things, we're like 87% of Americans who say they believe in God, but they don't even attend church. What happens is the problem is that we are building a legacy that will not be strong enough for our family and for our children in their time of need. We must understand that when Satan targets you, when he tries to weaken your faith, as he works to get you to compromise in sin, he's not simply targeting you, but he's targeting your children, he's targeting your family, and he's targeting those around you. And that is why the legacy that I leave is created by the choices that I make each and every day. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." Whether you choose to acknowledge it this morning, the fact remains we are in a spiritual fight. We're in a spiritual fight against unseen things. 2 Corinthians 6:7 says, "We faithfully preach the truth." God's power is working in us. We use the weapons of righteousness in the right hand for attack and the left hand for defense. And I want you to know that the deeper you walk into righteousness, the more effective your weapons are in the fight. If you're not making choices in keeping with righteousness, I'm telling you that you are compromising your strength for the battle. I want you to know that when it comes to kingdom things, we have to fight for our inheritance. We We have to fight for our legacy. And the reason is because even though our inheritance and our legacy God has promised to us, we do not yet possess it. This world is not our home. The things that you're pursuing here is not the end goal. In the Old Testament, we read about God's children and the Israelites and how he miraculously delivered them from slavery in Egypt and how he gave them the promised land. He promised it to them. He said, it's yours. It was an inheritance. It was their legacy, but they still had to walk into that land. They still had to fight for it. They still had to possess it. I want you to know this morning, the devil does not want you to walk into the legacy that God has called for you. In fact, Jesus warned us in John 10:10, the thief's purpose is to what? It's to steal, it's to kill, it's to destroy. Steal what? God's plan for your life. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal the thing that he's called you to do. And so the most powerful place you can be as a child of God is when you live out of a lifestyle of righteousness. So if we're not fighting flesh and blood, as the Apostle Paul taught, how do we know if we're winning the good fight? Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, he says, you can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way that they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Verse 17, a good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. And so the key to knowing if you're winning, the good fight is to look at two things. The first thing is what kind of fruit is your tree growing? In other words, the next blank in your outline, am I growing the fruit of the Spirit? You may say, well, I don't know what that is. Well, great, I'm going to tell you. Paul tells us in Galatians 5:22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. You ready? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so this morning, I want you to make an inventory. I want you to look at your life. Does the fruit of your life resemble the things found on this list? As we grow closer to Jesus, as we are led and as we become filled with the Spirit, the byproduct is that these fruits become evident in our lives. We must grow in the fruit of the Spirit. The second area we can look to see if we're winning the good fight is am I growing in the gifts? Everybody say gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. Verse 4, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. Verse 5, there are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. Verse 6, God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. Verse 7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can do what? Help each other. Listen, I want you to know this morning, God has intentionally placed you on the earth at this specific time, in this specific church, for a very specific reason. And so if you want to know if you're fighting the good fight of faith, if you're working at leaving a godly legacy, a life well lived, we must examine and ask ourselves, am I using the giftings that God has given me? Am I using my time? Am I using my talents to serve others, to serve the body of Christ? So how do we leave a legacy? The first way is to fight the good fight. Number two, the second way is to finish the race. Somebody say, finish the race. And in order to finish the race, we must ensure in the process that we are neither disqualified nor disheartened. Tragically, I've watched people whose lives have been completely sold out to Jesus Christ. But somewhere along the way, they simply walked off the track right in the middle of the race. They've given up. They've lost their longing for God, their passion to serve him and all he is. And so I find it interesting in Galatians 5:7, Paul asks the question, you were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth. You were moving right along, but along the way, something happened. Something began to hold you back. I'm going to give you some things that Satan will use to keep us from finishing the race. The first little check mark, the first bullet is this, is he'll use distractions. Distractions, they come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. There are the things that we wrestle with in our lives, and even though we know that they're wrong, we allow them to continue, and they're a distraction to us. And that one's usually pretty obvious to most of us, but there are also others. There are good people with good intentions who have been distracted by even good things. People who will volunteer for this great cause and that great cause, all at the expense of neglecting the things of God. So watch out for distractions. If distractions don't trip you up, Satan will use the next bullet. There is discouragement. He'll use things like failures, like lapses in our judgment to discourage us, to just throw in the towel and give up. I don't know if you've ever been there where you've asked the question, God, how could I fail you again? I just told you on Sunday I'd never do it again, but here I am and I've failed again. It's no use. Why should I even bother? Let me just throw it all away. Listen, it's a tool of the enemy. Another big one in the church is offense. It's offense. Somebody will say something. Really, that wasn't even intended the way that it came out, but before long we hear it and we let an offense settle in our hearts. And I've seen people, we walk away from the race discouraged. You know, they'll say things like, well, how can they be like that? Just a bunch of hypocrites. They're supposed to be Christians, and then they walk away from Jesus Christ. Doesn't even make sense, does it? Somebody that's fallen, someone that's in sin makes a mistake, so I'm going to walk away from Christ. Listen, be aware that Satan will try to discourage you. If distractions and discouragement don't work, Satan will use deceptions to keep us from finishing the race. He'll whisper things in our ears like, you know what, life is really all about you. You know, God just wants you to be happy. You know, even though his word says kind of like, yeah, you probably shouldn't be doing that, I don't think he really meant that for you. That was for everybody else. Just go ahead. He'll try to destroy our faith by saying things like, you know what, how long are you going to keep praying for the same thing? Over and over you pray, day after day, year after year you pray, but still you haven't gotten an answer. You know what, God just doesn't even, he doesn't hear you. He doesn't love you, and so we can get distracted, we can get discouraged, we can become deceived, and without even realizing it, we walk right off of the track in the middle of the race. I love this. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. And I believe that there are some of us in this room this morning that need to get rid of some weights. So we can finish the race, so we can put some sin aside, so we can live and leave a legacy. We fight the good fight. Second, we finish the race. And then finally, number three, we keep the faith. We keep the faith. The word keep in this verse carries with it the meaning to manage, to guard, to look over it. Our faith is something that we should not treat casually. It's something that we should manage carefully. It should be guarded like we would guard a precious jewel. It should be looked over. It should be explored. Listen, there is no one ever completely gets the depth of who God is. That's the beauty of this. The longer we journey with him, the more and more and more that we discover. This has got to be something that we hold valuable to us. We've got to hold on to the truth with fervor and with tenacity. We must pursue God daily, having a lifestyle of worship. Instead of living our lives to please man, we must determine foremost to live a life that is pleasing to God. We must learn to live sacrificially for others, because servanthood is what propels us to a legacy of greatness. People who are successful at leaving a legacy have learned to live sacrificially because they are living for something that is greater than themselves. But here's the problem this morning. Every single one of us in this room, we're flawed. We're broken. If our good intentions were water, they could float the largest cruise ship in the world. And the mistake that we often make is when we believe that we are solely responsible for our success in running the race. I want to let you know that on your own, you cannot fight the good fight. On your own, you cannot finish the race, and on your own, you cannot keep the faith. But this morning, I want to let you know that there is one that can help you. You see, Paul, who left us with these challenging words that we read earlier, also said in Galatians 2:20, "My old self has been crucified with Christ." Watch this. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. On our own, we will fail. On our own, even on our best days, we are still not good enough. We are still sinners. But when we die to self, when we allow Christ to live inside of us and rule, Scripture says that we will become more than conquerors. I love this, Philippians 4:13. If it's not already underlined in your Bible, it should be. "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." On your own, you'll never make it, but when you place your life in the hands of Jesus Christ, you can accomplish the impossible. The Olympic history books record an inspiring story about marathon runner John Stephen Aquari, who represented the nation of Tanzania in the 1968 Summer Olympics located in Mexico City. And early in the race, he stumbled. He had a bad fall, and in the process of the fall, he cut his knee up. He dislocated a joint. But then rather than give up, he continued running, and he was the last to finish the race nearly an hour after the winners. And so when he was asked why he kept running long after all the medals had been passed out, long after most of the crowd had gone home, he replied with this reply: "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race." And so as we close this morning, I want to know, I want to challenge you, have you made up your mind to finish the race? Listen, I know that there are times where it seems unbearable, where it seems so hard, where the journey is so long and it just seems like you'll never finish, that you'll never get there. I want to encourage you, through the power of Jesus Christ, living a crucified life to Him, you can make it. You see, so many of us fail to leave a legacy because our life is all about ourselves. It's about what our flesh wants. And when we're left to pursue our own urges and our own impulses, what happens is we will leave the next generation without a legacy. And so this morning, I want to challenge you. I want to ask you, is your life fully committed? Are you fully sold out to Jesus Christ? Perhaps you're sitting here and your life is a mess. You've made more mistakes than you can even write down. You've never committed your life to Jesus, but you're wondering, you know what, with all the mistakes I've made, with all my failures, how could He even want me? I don't even like myself. How could Jesus Christ even want me? Let me tell you about Paul, the man who wrote what we talked about today. Before he encountered Christ, he helped lead people in the early church, the early Christians, to their death. He was a bad dude, but when Jesus got a hold of his life, it changed everything. So much so that to the point that here we sit all of these years later, thousands of years later, and the legacy of his life is still speaking to us today. So I want you to know that there is time for a fresh start. Maybe you're here and you profess to be a follower of Christ, but when you look at your life, you're not on the right path. And if that's where you are, I encourage you to make a step towards Jesus. Turn over a new page and begin creating the legacy that God created you for. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning, you're ready to repent, which simply means to stop going your own direction and move towards Jesus. If you're ready to give your life to Christ, whether for the first time or maybe some of you here need to just make some recommitments. If you find yourself in either of those places, nobody looking around, I want to pray for you. So why don't you just lift your hand? Is there anybody who says, I'm ready for a fresh start today? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands all over. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is the greatest decision that you will ever make. Let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank you for the power of your word. Lord, I thank you that you've called each and every one of us to leave a legacy, to make a difference. And so, Lord God, I pray today that you would forgive us. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Lord God, forgive us, maybe those that are here that have become complacency about the things of you. Lord God, I pray that you would wash us and that you would cleanse us and that you would make us white as snow. Lord God, I pray that for each and every person that's in this room today, that we would stop, that we would pause, that we would think about the legacy that we're leaving. There are children who are watching us. There are grandchildren that have not even been born, that their eternity, that their life will be affected forever by the choices that we make today. Lord, you've given us a great opportunity. And so, Lord God, I pray that you'd help each and every one of us to realize that you've called us to be world changers. We commit our lives to you. We give our lives to you, Lord God. I pray that you would use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Let's clap our hands this morning.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you've been encouraged by it. If you'd like more information about The Lifeway, please visit thelifeway.org.